Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. From the Arizona Republic, Plant Joy, Count the Ways Plants Provide Surprising Health Benefits by Mary Janik. Mom says to her son, eat your vegetables. Junior replies, but why? And Mom says, because they're good for you. But what if plants are good for us even if we don't eat them? Well, turns out there's been quite a bit of research done on the benefits of indoor plants on our health and well-being. Air quality. Some of the most famous research on the benefits of indoor plants was conducted in 1989 by NASA in conjunction with the Associated Landscape Contractors of America. The NASA Clean Air Study examined whether plants could be beneficial to air quality in space stations. The results suggested that plants like the variegated spider plant, or Cana, ficus, and peace lily, among the most successful in absorbing carbon dioxide and removing volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, like benzene or formaldehyde in closed settings. This process became known as phytoremediation. A summary of numerous intervening studies regarding indoor plant effects on air quality was published in 2020 by the Journal of Exposure Science and Environmental Epidemiology. It confirmed that indoor plants, their soil, and soil microorganisms do absorb VOCs, but more studies were needed to identify how variables interact before findings can be applied in office and home environments. For example, in 2023, an article published by the Penn State Extension Office cited a study that suggested it would take approximately 680 plants in a 1,500-square-foot house to achieve the same airflow effects as opening a few windows. So, while plants do help clean the air, how to most effectively and efficiently harness this capability remains unclear. Cognitive and psychological benefits. While more studies are needed to determine how efficient plants are at cleaning indoor air, research consistently finds that proximity to plants helps us think better and feel better psychologically. An article in the International Journal of Well-Being described three theories. The biophilia hypothesis argues, since our ancestors evolved in wild settings and relied on the environment for survival, we have an innate drive to connect with nature. That drive is harnessed by horticultural therapy, which has been used for centuries to increase feelings of well-being among those with psychological distress, dementia, and other conditions. Medical clinics in Manchester, England, have gone so far as to prescribe potted plants for patients with depression and anxiety. It's been shown the soils often contain microbacteria that work much like antidepressants in elevating mood. The stress reduction hypothesis posits that spending time in nature triggers a physiological response that lowers stress levels. Jenny Seaham from Montefiore Health System in the Bronx states that plants lower the stress hormone cortisol. Reduced cortisol levels result in less fatigue, less irritability, and lowered blood pressure. The third theory, the attention restoration hypothesis, claims nature essentially jumpstarts our cognitive resources, aiding in our ability to concentrate and pay attention. Texas A&M showed that working and studying around plants improved quality and accuracy. Similarly, the University of Michigan found that mental activities in the process of plants improved concentration, memory, and productivity, with memory improving by 20%. A 2007 study showed that when plants were in their workspaces, people took fewer sick days and were more productive. Get well soon. Who hasn't sent flowers or a plant to someone recovering from an illness, hoping to brighten their spirits? It might also help the patient's physical recovery. In preparation for a Plants for People conference in 2002, Roger Ulrich reviewed multiple research studies on the influence of gardens and plants in healthcare settings. He found that not only do greenery and even pictures of greenery reduce patient stress levels, but plants can also be beneficial in reducing the amount of pain medication needed, speeding recovery time, and bolstering overall feelings of well-being and satisfaction with the care provided. Even staff job satisfaction and retention benefited from proximity to plants in hospital gardens. better sleep. Getting started, plants release oxygen during the day. With decreased light levels after nightfall, photosynthesis stops, and instead of releasing oxygen, plants release carbon dioxide. So, if you want a better night's sleep, keep orchids, succulents, or bromeliads near your bed, because they still emit oxygen with diminished light levels. This increase in oxygen might help you fall asleep faster and have better sleep overall. So, research confirms that indoor plants have psychological and physical benefits, and you like the look of them. If you're looking for inspiration, an internet search can help you find ways to use plants in your decor. My search found Masterclass, which offers a course on how to display plants in your space. For example, small rootless air plants that absorb moisture from the air can be displayed in wireframes, glass planters, and ceramic sculptures on wall shelves. A terrarium on a bookcase or end table creates a mini indoor garden. A plant on the dining table can add a bit of life to your meals. Of course, hanging planters are a classic way to incorporate plants into your room without taking up floor space. If floor space isn't an issue, large potted plants and small trees really bring nature indoors. How many is enough? CHAM advises starting with one or two live plants in your indoor environment if this is new to you. Getting too many all at once and being unfamiliar with their care can create stress rather than decrease it. In her experience, just one plant can make a difference. It can engage you by its smell or color, creating a positive mood response with every interaction. Another caveat, be sure to avoid plants that are on the invasive species list, even if they'll be kept indoors. Help identifying invasive species can be found on the University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Science Center for Aquatic and Invasive Plants website, and that is plant-directory.ifas.ufl.edu. If you have young children and pets, care and houseplant selection may be warranted. The ASPCA and National Poison Control Center maintain lists of plants that may be harmful to humans and pets. Remember, just because it's for sale someplace doesn't mean it's safe for your particular pet and human family members. So it turns out Mom and Junior are both right. You don't have to eat plants for them to be good for you. From BetterHomesAndGardens.com, how to grow and care for amaryllis so they thrive all winter and beyond. Learn how to care for amaryllis to enjoy their big, beautiful flowers for the holidays and what to do with them afterwards, by Andy Wilcox. Huge, colorful flowers on tall stalks make amaryllis a holiday favorite. How to care for amaryllis is a little different than other bulbs you may be familiar with, but they are about as easygoing and low maintenance as a plant can be and bloom reliably. Their willingness to flower, at least the first time, is part of their popularity. This guide explains how to grow amaryllis, not just for the winter season, but how to care for them so they'll bloom again. Where to plant amaryllis? Amaryllis are most commonly grown indoors as potted plants, and they will grow well anywhere in a home that has bright light. Amaryllis also can be planted and grown as perennials outdoors in hardiness zones 9 through 11. Outdoors, plant amaryllis in flower beds. They look best in groups along foundations, as seasonal accents, or in planters along the deck. They'll be fine if they have some sunshine and well-drained soil. How and when to plant amaryllis. Planting amaryllis bulbs in containers is about as easy as it gets. You need a pot about 2 inches wider than the bulb with adequate drainage holes, some fresh potting soil, and the bulb. That's it. For a starting point, plant amaryllis bulbs about 8 weeks before you want them to bloom. Amaryllis bulbs benefit from soaking their roots in room temperature water for 12 to 24 hours prior to planting. This produces a healthier and more vigorous plant that blooms faster. Soak just the roots, not the bulb. Use a water glass or other container that's a little smaller than the bulb to allow the roots to dangle in the water without the bulb falling inside and getting stuck. And here's a tip. Amaryllis bulbs are graded by size. Generally, a larger bulb means more flower stalks and blooms. After soaking the roots, fill the bottom of the pot with enough potting mix so that the bulb's top third is exposed above the soil. Fill the rest of the pot, water thoroughly, and set it in a bright, warm spot. You'll likely see growth begin in a week or two. If you can't plant amaryllis bulbs right when you get them, store them in a cool, dark location, ideally about 40 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit, to help them keep dormant until you can plant them. Amaryllis care tips. Amaryllis don't demand much other than bright light, regular water, and a little fertilizer to produce their impressive flowers. Light. Amaryllis grow and bloom best with at least 4 hours of sunshine per day. Too much shade may prevent them from blooming again the following year. Let them soak up the light even after blooming to replenish the energy stored in the bulb for next year. Indoors, a grow light is useful to produce the largest, healthiest plants. Soil and water. For amaryllis in pots, use a well-draining, fresh potting mix. Bulbs planted outdoors in the ground need a bed of loosened soil with some compost worked in. In either case, a good drainage is essential to prevent the bulb from rotting. Water your amaryllis bulb immediately after planting, keeping the soil moist but not wet or soggy. If you stick your finger an inch deep in the soil and it feels dry, it's time to water. For potted amaryllis, watering once per week is usually sufficient. Outdoor beds of amaryllis can be mulched to preserve soil moisture and keep weeds down. Temperature and humidity. Amaryllis are tropical plants that like warm weather. The average room temperature in our homes is fine for them, but outdoors they do best as the weather warms. They prefer moderate to high humidity in the 40 to 60% range. Fertilizer. If your amaryllis is in a pot, there isn't much soil around it, and fertilizer will provide the nutrients it needs to store energy for another blooming cycle. Feed it once a month with a diluted general-purpose product, following the directions on the label. When the leaves die back, stop fertilizing until you bring the plant out of dormancy. Post-bloom care and reblooming. As an amaryllis bloom fades, snip that flower off at the base of its stalk. Deadheading spent flowers prevents the plant from spending energy on creating seeds, redirecting it towards more blooms or growing new leaves. After all the flowers on a stalk are finished, cut the entire stalk off just above the neck of the bulb. Allow the amaryllis to recharge for several months. After flowering has finished, place the plant in a sunny spot and continue to water and feed it like any houseplant. After 5 to 6 months, or in autumn, when the leaves begin to yellow, it's time to begin a dormant period. Amaryllis require a period of dormancy to bloom. This happens naturally for outdoor planted bulbs, but you need help if your amaryllis is a houseplant. To send the plant into dormancy, remove any old foliage. Water it well and place the plant in a dark, cool area, about 40 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. A windowless basement or a cellar works well. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks for the cycle to reset. After that time has elapsed, bring the amaryllis back into the light, give it good watering, and wait for new growth. Pests and problems. Wet conditions and poor drainage cause problems for amaryllis. If they stay wet too long, the bulbs are susceptible to rotting. If your soil is typically soggy over winter, consider making a raised bed for your amaryllis. For potted bulbs, cut back on the water as the plant goes dormant and test with your finger before watering during the growing season. How to propagate amaryllis. Amaryllis can be propagated through bulb offsets, recommended, or seeds. Bulb offsets. Propagating amaryllis from bulb offsets is the preferred method for propagating these plants at home, and the result is a plant identical to the parent. The entire process from an offset to a flowering bulb takes 3 to 4 years. When repotting an amaryllis in late winter or early spring, examine the bulb. Look for offsets, small attached bulblets that have their own roots. Carefully separate an offset from the mother bulb and plant it in a small pot filled with compost. Keep the pot in a warm area at about 70 degrees and treat it as a houseplant, but don't induce dormancy the first year. Seeds. Propagating amaryllis from seed is difficult. Plants grown from seed do not necessarily resemble the parent plant and take up to 6 years to reach flowering size. In addition, they must be hand-pollinated. The resulting seeds can be harvested about 8 weeks later and should be sown immediately. Types of amaryllis. Amaryllis is the common name for certain varieties frequently seen around the winter holidays. Their height is dependent upon the amount of light they receive. Full sun is preferred and results in the tallest plants. First one is Red Lion. Award-winning Red Lion Amaryllis has large 7-inch single rich red flowers. It grows up to 26 inches tall and produces multiple bloom stalks. Monte Carlo. The flowers of Monte Carlo Amaryllis are a warm, deep pink with a white star in the middle. The bulb typically produces at least 2 flower stems, each with up to 4 blooms. The blooms are up to 8 inches across. It grows up to 18 inches tall under bright light. Lady Jane. The lovely Lady Jane Amaryllis offers huge semi-double apricot pink blooms with creamy white feathering and stripes. It grows up to 25 inches tall with massive 6 to 8 inch blooms that are showstoppers in homes and gardens. White Christmas. As the name suggests, the huge 7-inch single blooms of White Christmas Amaryllis have snowy white petals set off by a light green throat. The plant grows up to 24 inches tall and often has 4 to 5 blooms on 2 or 3 stems. Now, here are some frequently asked questions. How long do Amaryllis bulbs last? Although some people treat Amaryllis as a single-season holiday plant and toss it in the new year, a well-maintained Amaryllis bulb can live and bloom for up to 40 years. Do Amaryllis bulbs like to be crowded? These large bulbs like to be somewhat crowded in a pod or a bed. They rarely benefit from being planted more than 12 inches apart in the garden, while a container 2 inches larger than a bulb is sufficient as long as it has excellent drainage. Here's another article from BetterHomesAndGardens.com. 5 things to consider when picking the perfect planter, plus 4 planters you'll love. Give your plants a beautiful new home with these Better Homes and Gardens collection at Walmart Picks by Aksha Mittipelli. You don't need a green thumb to know that the most important things for a plant to grow well are sun and water exposure. But when you fill your home with plants and make intentional decisions about what to grow in a controlled condition, you also have to consider how that plant will survive in its fabricated environment. The planter you choose will affect how quickly the soil dries out, how well a plant grows, and how healthy the roots are. Getting a new planter also gives you the chance to repot your plants. Most people skip this step, but old soil is depleted of nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus that plants need to survive. Repotting replaces this old soil with a fresh and nutrient-rich soil. Here's a list of factors to consider before picking your perfect planter, featuring picks from the Better Homes and Gardens at Walmart collection. Size. As you might have guessed, the size of your planter should be proportional to the size of your plant. If your plant has short roots and small flowers, try something like Fisher's Ceramic Planter. This stylish planter features a classic round shape and a crisp white finish, making it a versatile choice for any home decor style. Something else to consider is material. Terracotta pots are very popular and affordable. They do, however, dry out pretty quickly, so they are best for succulents and other plants that don't need a lot of water to grow. They are also delicate, so be cautious of where you keep your terracotta planters. If your plant needs a lot of water and you don't want to risk dehydration, a ceramic planter can be the perfect solution. A ceramic bowl, like the Amy planter, can last for many years and retain some much-needed moisture for your plants. And here's a warning. Ceramic planters can break relatively easily, so keep them off high ledges and anywhere your kids and dogs can reach them. Designed to add a touch of elegance to your indoor or outdoor plant arrangements, the Amy Ceramic Planter is a great ceramic planter option that combines functionality with timeless style. Aesthetic. You also want your planter to match the overall aesthetic of your plant and home. The Ellen planter has understated yet unique detailing that would be the perfect addition to a house with minimalist interiors. Made from durable resin, this planter is lightweight for easy portability and sturdy enough to withstand outdoor conditions. Its weather-resistant properties also make it suitable for year-round use. Drainage. A drainage system in a planter can be as simple as holes in the bottom of the pot, but it is a planter essential if you want any excess water to be able to be comfortably passed out of the pot. Ignoring this detail while choosing a planter could result in water accumulation and root rot. Try to pick planters that have drainage holes built into them. Cost is next. Maintaining plants doesn't always need to burn a hole in your pocket. Try this eye-grabbing Chinook ceramic bubble planter, shown here, for just $5. Best suited for succulents, small flowers, and other houseplants, This handcrafted piece features a drainage hole and a breathable material, so you can be sure that your plant will stay well hydrated. Also from BetterHomesAndGardens.com, the 7 Best Potting Soils of 2024. These potting mixes help indoor and outdoor plants thrive thanks to targeted ingredients. You may think that your container plants just need some dirt to grow in, but most potting soil isn't actually soil at all. Potting mixes are made up of a carefully balanced set of ingredients designed to give specific plants the water, nutrients, and air they need to thrive, and this may or may not include actual soil. When selecting a potting soil, your choice will largely depend on what type of plants you're growing. Different plants have differing water and nutrient needs, so look for a mix that fits what you'll be growing. It's important to pay attention to what the bag says the potting mix is for. In other words, general purpose, veggies, houseplants, or seeds, says Vivica Nevin, Senior Garden Editor for Better Homes and Gardens. While some potting mixes can be used for both indoor and outdoor containers, there are good reasons to choose a potting soil designed for one or the other. Outdoor mixes tend to have more added fertilizers and may include moisture-retaining ingredients, Nevin says. Meanwhile, some potting soils for indoor plants are designed to reduce the prevalence of gnats and other pests that can often plague houseplants. So what was researched was ingredients, nutrients, drainage, and aeration. And the folks at Better Homes and Gardens also included mostly organic potting soils on the list. Top picks, best overall, Wonder Soil Organic Potting Soil at Amazon for $35. Best budget soil, Kellogg All-Natural Premium Outdoor Potting Mix at Home Depot. Best for starting seeds, Black Gold Seedling Mix at Amazon, $16. Best for succulents, Hoffman Organic Cactus and Succulent Soil Mix at Amazon for $20. Best for vegetables, Espoma Organic Potting Mix at Amazon, $22. Best for indoor plants, Miracle-Gro Houseplant Potting Mix at Amazon, for $11. And best for potted flowers, Miracle-Gro Moisture Control Potting Mix at Amazon for $27. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called One at a Time, written by Geraldine Edwards. And there's a quote here from Sheikh Muzla Uddin Saadi Shirazi. If I had 2 loaves of bread, I would sell one and buy hyacinths, for they would feed my soul. One at a time. It was a bleak, rainy day, and I had no desire to make the drive from the beach to the cold mountain at Lake Arrowhead where my daughter Carolyn lived. A week earlier, she had called and insisted that I come see the daffodils some woman had planted at the top of the mountain. So here I was, reluctantly making the 2-hour journey. By the time I saw how thick the fog was on the winding road toward the summit, it was too far to go back, so I inched my way up the perilous rim of the World Highway to my daughter's house. I am not driving another inch, I announced. I'll stay and have lunch, but as soon as the fog lifts, I'm heading back down. But I need you to drive me to the garage to pick up my car, Carolyn said. Can't we at least do that? How far is it? I asked cautiously. About 3 minutes, she answered. I'll drive. I'm used to it. After about 10 minutes of driving, I looked at her anxiously. I thought you said it was about 3 minutes away. She grinned. This is a detour. We were back on the mountain road, in fog like thick veils. Nothing could be worth this, I thought, but it was too late to turn back. We turned down a narrow track into a parking lot beside a little stone church. The fog was beginning to lift a little, and gray, watery sunshine was trying to peek through. Carolyn got out of the car, and I reluctantly followed. The path we followed was thick with old pine needles. Dark evergreens towered over us, and the mountain sloped sharply away to the right. Gradually, the peace and silence of the place began to relax my mind. Just then, we turned a corner, and I gasped in amazement. From the top of the mountain, sloping down for several acres across folds and valleys, between the trees and bushes, following the terrain, were rivers of daffodils in radiant bloom. Every hue of the color yellow, from the palest ivory to the deepest lemon to the most vivid salmon orange, blazed like a carpet before us. It looked as though the sun had tipped over and spilled gold in rivulets down the mountainside. At the center of this wild color cascaded a waterfall of purple hyacinth. Throughout the garden were little meditation platforms graced with barrels of coral-colored tulips. And as if this bonanza of color were not enough, over the heads of the daffodils, western bluebirds darted and frolicked, their magenta breasts and sapphire wings like a flutter of jewels. A riot of questions filled my mind. Who created such beauty, such a magnificent garden? Why? Why here, in this out-of-the-way place? How? As we approached the mountain home that stood in the center of the property, we saw a sign, "Answers to the questions I know you are asking." The very first answer was one woman, two hands, two feet, and very little brain. The second was one at a time. The third started in 1958. As we drove back home, I was silent. I was so moved by what we had seen, I could scarcely speak. "She changed the world," I finally said, "one bulb at a time." Just think, she started almost 40 years ago, and the world is forever different and better because she did a little bit with consistent effort. The wonder of it would have not let me go. Imagine if I had had a vision and had worked at it just a little bit every day for all those lost years, what might I have accomplished by now? Carolyn looked at me sideways, smiling. "Start tomorrow," she said. "Better yet, start today." That's called One at a Time, written by Geraldine Edwards, one of the many stories that make up Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. And that's the Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy, and we'll be talking with you soon.